We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Nedarim. We are on Daf Lamed Chet, Amud Aleph, five lines from the top of the page. This limud should be Le'ilui Nishmat, Reuven ben David, Yosef ben Tamara, Harav Shalom Kohen ben Tvacha Malka, Ya'ir ben Tova, Naim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, Eta Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devorah, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sarah, En Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also, Lizchut Refuah Shelemafer, Aaron Yitzchak ben Brina, Avraham ben Aviva, Moshe ben Chana, Yochai ben Beloria, Esther bat Sarah, Geraz Tova bat Chana, Elisheva bat Neta, Chana bat Zulika, and Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah. We mentioned before in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to teach Am Yisrael for free, without payment. So the Gemara will continue on this topic. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina says, Lo he'eshir Moshe ela mipsoltan shel luchot. Moshe became wealthy, but he became wealthy only from the psoltan shel luchot, the waste remaining from the hewing of the tablets of the Luchot HaBrit, from the chiseling of the tablets. So there was sawdust or stone dust that came off, which was obviously very precious, and he became rich from that. Shene'emar, as it says in the Pasuk, Pesol lecha shene luchot avanim karishonim. Pesol lecha, hew for yourself two tablets of stone, like the first one. Lecha, we learn, Pesoltan shel lecha yihye. Their waste shall be yours, since they were crafted from valuable gems, so the remnants were also very valuable. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina, lo nitna Torah ela leMoshe uleZar'o. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina says, the Torah was given to Moshe to teach Am Yisrael. It was given to him and to his descendants to be the teachers of Am Yisrael. Sheneimar, as it says, Ketov lecha pesol lecha, write for you and hew for you. Ma pesoltan shelcha, just like the waste, the extra dust of the gems is shelcha, belongs to you. Af ketavan shelcha, so to their writing is yours. Which means the Torah should be written for you and for your descendants. Officially, it was given to Moshe. Just Moshe nahag ba tovat ayin unetanah liYisrael. Moshe treated the Torah with generosity. He was generous and he gave it to the Jewish people as well. Ve'alav ha'katuv omer tov ayin hu yevorach. About him, the pasuk says in Mishle, he that is tov ayin, that has a good eye, that has a generous eye, yevorach, he will be blessed. Mativ Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda raised a question on this from the following pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Ve'oti tziva Hashem ba'etahi lelamed etchem. And Hashem commanded me to teach you. So you see, Hashem commanded Moshe to teach Am Yisrael. What are you saying? That it was only from his generosity that he taught Am Yisrael? So the Gemara answers by saying, Ve'oti tziva, Hashem commanded me the Torah, ve'ani lachem, and I gave you and taught you the Torah. Asks the Gemara from another pasuk. It says, Re'e, limati etchem chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. I have taught you chukim u'mishpatim as Hashem commanded me. So you see, Hashem commanded him to teach the Torah. Once again, the Torah answers, Oti tziva, he commanded me the chukim and mishpatim. Va'ani lachem, and I then taught it to you. The Gemara asks from another pasuk, from what Hashem told Moshe and Yoshua, Ve'ata kitvu lachem et hashira hazot. You should write down this Shira, this Torah, ולמדה בני ישראל, and teach בני ישראל. So the Torah, the Gemara is understanding that this pasuk meant that they should write the entire Torah in which the Shira is written and teach it to בני ישראל. So you see, they were commanded to teach the Torah to בני ישראל. Answers the Gemara, no. Hashira lechuda. In this pasuk, Hashem commanded Moshe to write and to teach Bnei Israel just the Shira. That's Shira Ta'azinu. Parashat Ta'azinu was, they were commanded to teach Am Yisrael, but the rest of the Torah was only LeMoshe uLeZar'o. But the Gemara immediately rejects this answer from the pasuk, from the end of that pasuk. The end of that pasuk is LeMa'an Tihi Eli Hashira Hazot LeEd Bivnei Israel. so that this Shira should be a testimony for me in regards to Bnei Israel. Now, if the Torah was not given to Am Yisrael, only the Shira, so what is the Shira going to testify about? You see that Hashem gave the Torah to all of Am Yisrael. Ela, rather, therefore, now the Gemara comes to the conclusion to clarify the words of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. This that he said, that the Torah was given only le Moshe u le Zaro, and that he was generous enough to teach it to Am Yisrael, it means le pilpula be'alma, which means that Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina was only referring to the pilpula be'alma, the profound analysis of the Torah. All the deep arguments back and forth, the pilpul of the Torah, that is something that was given only to Moshe. Of course, the mitzvot and all the halachot were given to all of Am Yisrael. But the pilpul was something that was at first given only to Moshe, and Moshe chose on his own initiative, with his generosity, to teach it as well to Am Yisrael as well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashre shchinato ela al gibor ve'ashir ve'chacham ve'anav. Rabbi Yochanan says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes his Shekhinah to rest only upon someone who is gibor, who is strong, ve'ashir, who is wealthy, ve'anav, and humble, ve'chacham, and wise, and humble, ve'anav, ve'chulan mi-Moshe, and all of these qualities are derived, we learn it, from Moshe Rabbeinu, because we found that Moshe has all these qualities. Gibor, where do we see that he was gibor, that he was mighty, he was strong? It states, he spread the tent over the Mishkan. And we learned, Moshe Rabbeinu peraso. It was Moshe Rabbeinu on his own that he spread it himself. He spread the ceiling, the tent over the Mishkan. Uchtiv eser amot orech hakaresh. And it says, 10 amot is the length of the karesh, of the boards of the Mishkan. So that means Moshe was tall and he was strong enough to spread the tent over the karashim, over the boards, all by himself. That took a lot of gvura. So the Gemara asks, Ema de'arich ve'katin. Why don't we say that he was tall and thin? Which means the fact that he was mighty, that he was strong, cannot be derived from here. You could only see that he was tall and that he was thin, that he was able to do so. Ela min hadenkra. Rather, from the following pasuk, we derive that Moshe was mighty, was strong. Dichtiv va'etpos bishne haluchot. It says, and I took hold of the two tablets, va'ashlichem me'al shetei yadai, and I cast them from my two hands, va'ashaberem, and I broke them. And it says, Vitanya, we learned in the Braita, Haluchot, the tablets themselves, Orkan Shisha, their length was 6 tfachim, 6 hand breadths, Verochban Shisha, and their width was 6 tfachim, Verovyan Shelosha, and their thickness was 3 tfachim. If Moshe was capable of lifting and casting such a heavy two tablets, apparently we see from here that he was very mighty. This is absolute. The Luchot were absolutely very heavy. They were 6 by 6 tfachim, and their thickness was 3 tfachim. Can you imagine? So, and Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, va'etpos va'ashlichem. He picked them up and he threw them. That shows that he was very strong. Ashir, how do we know he was wealthy? As we mentioned before, pesol lecha. Hashem said, make for you, chisel for you the tablets. Pesol tan shelcha yeh. The waste, the dust of the gems, will belong to you. And that waste was consisted of precious stones. Chacham, how do we know that he was wise? Rabu Shmuel damri tarvayu. Rabu Shmuel both said, Chamishim sha'are bina nivre'u ba'olam. There are 50 measures of chokhmah, of bina, of understanding, that were created in the world. Bekulam nitnu le'Moshe chaserachat. And all of them, all of the measures of bina were given to Moshe except one. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk in Teilim, "Vatehaserehu me'at me'elokim," you deprived him a little of Hashem. So he had 49 out of the 50 sha'are bina. That's how we know he was chacham. Anav, how do we know he was humble? It's an open pasuk. Dichti ve'ha'ish Moshe anav me'od, and Moshe was very humble. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Kol ha'neviim ashirim hayu." Rabbi Yochanan says all the prophets, all the neviim that we had were wealthy. Menalan, from where do we know? Mi Moshe, We derive it from Moshe, Umishmuel, and from Shmuel Anavi, Me'amos, from Amos the Navi, and from Yonah. They were all wealthy, and the Gemara proceeds in showing this to us. Moshe, how do we know he was wealthy? Dichtiv lo hamor echad mehem nasati. I did not take even one donkey from them. And the Gemara analyzes this statement of Moshe. Ibe lo agra, if he said that he didn't take a donkey without payment, so then le'apuke man deshakil belo agra. Then what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying about himself? Was he saying that he's not like people who take without payment? Obviously, what is he saying? That lo chamor echad mehem nasati, I never took a donkey without paying for it. So what? Is he excluding himself from the category of people who take items that belong to others without paying? Le'apuke man deshakil belo agra. So what was Moshe saying about himself? Ela de'afilu be'agra. Rather, what he was saying is that even with payment, he did not take a donkey, which means he was so wealthy that he didn't need to purchase anything like that. He never needed to buy a donkey, even with payment. Dilma mishum de'ani hava. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, maybe on the contrary, maybe it means the reason why he didn't purchase a donkey because he was poor and he couldn't afford it. So therefore, we cannot really bring proof from this pasuk of lo chamor echad mehem nasati, ela min pesolecha. Rather, from that pasuk that we mentioned before, pesolecha, pesoltani yeshelcha, that the waste, the precious stones of the leftover from the chiseled stones of the tablets were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, which were obviously very valuable. Shmuel, how do we know Shmuel HaNavi was wealthy? Dichtiv, it says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Bet, Shmuel HaNavi said, Hineni anu bi neged Hashem veneged Meshicho. Here I am, witness for me before Hashem. Et shor mi lakachti, whose ox did I take? V'hamor mi lakachti, and whose donkey did I ever take? So now the Gemara is analyzing. Ibechinam, if he's saying that he didn't take an ox or a donkey for free, so once again the question is what? What's the chidush here? La'apuke man deshakil bechinam? Was he only excluding himself from the category of people who take things that belong to others for free? Obviously, of course, you don't take things for free. So what was he saying about himself? Ela de'afilu besachar. Rather, he's saying that even with payment, he didn't take a donkey or an ox, which means he didn't need it. He was wealthy. But once again, the Gemara asks, Dilma de'ani hava? Could be he didn't purchase it because he was poor. He couldn't afford it. This is not a proof. Ela mehacha. Rather, the proof that Shmuel was wealthy is from the following pasuk. Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Zayin. Utshuvato haramata kisham beto. And he would return back to Ramah because that's where his house was. The Amar Rava, Rava learns from this pasuk, kol makom shehalach beto imo. Wherever he went, his home was with him. Which means he was so wealthy that he could afford to hire servants to pack animals, to take all his belongings with him from one place to another. Shmuel HaNavi was always careful never to take any gifts or take any pleasure for anyone else's belongings. So wherever he went with all his belongings. Wherever he went with his own. And so that shows that he was able to hire people to pack up everything that he owned to travel with it. So that shows that he was very wealthy. And he didn't even desire to enjoy from anyone else's property, which also shows that he was ashir. Amar Rava, Rava says, Gadol ma sheneemar b'Shmuel yoter misheneemar b'Moshe. The statement that is stated regarding Shmuel is greater than the statement regarding Moshe. Dilu b'Moshe Rabbeinu k'tiv lo chamor echad mehem nasati. De'afilu b'sachar. Moshe Rabbeinu said, not one donkey did I take from anyone, even with payment. Ve'ilu gabe Shmuel afilu b'ratzon lo secharo. Regarding Shmuel, it says, even with the consent of the owner, he would not rent an item, anything from the person. Dichtiv, as it says in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Bet, Vayomeru lo ashaktanu velo ratzotanu. They answered him. He said, you never defrauded us, you never oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from us. Which means even with our consent, even with our ratzon, that's even greater than what it states by Moshe Rabbeinu. Amos, how do we know that the Navi Amos was wealthy? Dichtiv, it states in Amos Perek Zayin, Vayan Amos Vayomer L'Amatziah. Amos said to Amatziah, Lo Navi Anochi, Velo Ben Navi Anochi. I was never a prophet, neither was I the son of a prophet. Ki boker anochi uboles shikmim. I was a boker, I was a herdsman. I led herds of animals. Uboles shikmim. I was a dresser of trees, of sycamore trees. Ki demitargem Rav Yosef, Amos was saying, as Rav Yosef translated the pasuk, Ari mare gite ana veshikmin li beshafelta. Are mare gite ana means I am an owner of flocks and I have sycamores. That's a very expensive type of tree in my shfela, in my lowland. Which means he was telling Amatzia, I didn't come to say prophecy for financial gain. I don't need any payment because I own, look what I own. I own flocks and I own sycamore trees. That means Amos was wealthy. Yonah, Dichtiv, Yonah, how do we know he was wealthy? It says, Vayiten secharah vayered ba. He went down to Yafo, he found a ship going to Tarshish, he paid its cost, and he went down into it. So these words, Vayiten secharah, sounds to Rabbi Yochanan that it's not just that he paid his for his own fare. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shenatan secharah shel sfina kula. He paid the cost of the entire ship, meaning the fare of everyone on that ship was paid, was sponsored by Yonah. Amar Rabbi Romanus said, Secharah shel sfina havia, 4,000 dinare dahava. The cost for that entire ship was 4,000 gold dinarim. And Yonah paid it all from his pocket, which shows that Yonah HaNavi was wealthy. Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Batechila haya Moshe lamed Torah umshakecha. Initially, Moshe would study Torah, and he would forget it. Ad shenitna lo b'matana, until it was given to him by Hashem as a gift. Sheneemar v'yiten el Moshe, he gave the Torah to Moshe, kechaloto ledaber ito, when he concluded speaking with him. Once the Torah was given to him as a gift, it became his, and he was able to remember it. Vayiten el Moshe. Vayiten is a lashon matana. We begin the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is continuing the list of things that is either allowed or not allowed for the madil to do for the mudar hana'a from him. Someone who is not allowed to have hana'a from him by power of an edel. Well, there are things that the madir can do, and there are things that he can't do. So the Mishnah continues, Vizan et ishto ve'et banav. The madir can feed the wife and children of the mudar. Aval pishu chayav bimzonotam. Although the one, the mudar, the one who's bound by the neder, is obligated to support his wife and his children, and so he's benefiting when someone else supports him, still it is allowed for the madir to feed the children and the wife of the mudar. Ve'lo yazun et behemto, ben teme'a ben tehora. However, he may not feed the animal of the mudar, whether it's a kosher animal or it's a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Eliezer says, zan et teme'a ve'no zan et tehora. Rabbi Eliezer says he could feed the non-kosher animal of the mudar, but not the kosher animal of the mudar. Amru lo, so chachamim asked Rabbi Eliezer, ma ben teme'a le tehora? What's the difference between them? Amar lehu, Rabbi Eliezer said to them, "Shatehora nafshah lashamayim vegufah shelo." When it comes to the kosher animal's being, nafshah, its being belongs to shamayim, to heaven. The animal's body is the property of its owner, as he can eat it. So therefore, the owner benefits directly when another person feeds his animal, because that animal he can eat. It's a kosher animal. So when he feeds that animal and he fattens it, he is directly benefiting the mudar who has the ability to eat the animal. Utme'ah nafshah ve'gufah l'shamayim. But the animal that is non-kosher, both its being and its body belongs to heaven. Meaning the owner is prohibited from eating its meat. So the fact that, Rabbi Eliezer says, the fact that the madir fed the animal which is tameh is not by benefiting in any way the mudar. Amru lo, so the Chachamim said to him, Af hatemea nafshah lashamayim vegufa shelo. What do you mean? The non-kosher animal also, its being belongs to heaven, that's true, but its body is the property of its owner. Because if he wants, she'im yirtze, if he chooses to, harehu mochra legoim, he can sell the animal to Gentiles, or ma'achila leklavim, or kefidet to the dogs. And so he will also be benefiting by the fact that the Madil fed it, because it brings up an animal that is well fed, costs more. He will be able to sell it for more money. And the fact that he can give it to dogs, he has more meat to give to the dogs after the animal is well fed. So therefore, that is a direct hana'ah. That's why Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer, and they say even by behemah teme'ah, the madil cannot feed the behemah teme'ah that belongs to the mudal. The Gemara begins, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya said, in the name of Rav Huna, Hamudar hana'a mechavero, the one who is not allowed to benefit from his friend by power of a neder, mutar le'asilo bito. He's permitted to marry his daughter to him. Haveba Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera asks on this, b'may askinan, with what case are we dealing here? If we're talking about in the case where the property of the father of the kala is forbidden to the chatan. Well, if the chatan is not allowed to have hana from the property of the father of the kala, then how could the father of the kala marry off his daughter to him? But it's considered like he's giving the chatan someone who is going to serve him, a wife who is going to serve him. So it comes out he is benefiting him directly, and he's not allowed to have benefit from him. Right now, the Gemara was understanding that we're talking about a kala who is a minor, who's younger than the age of bat mitzvah, and therefore the father is the one who's giving her over to marriage. So how could he give her over to marriage? He's benefiting the chatan. Ela, rather, Rav Huna, you must say, is talking about this, that he said, Hamudar hana'a mechavero, is allowed to marry off his daughter to him, benichse chatan asurim al avikala. It's when the property of the chatan is forbidden to the avikala. The avikala, the father of the kala, is the mudar. So the chidush is that even though the chatan will provide, will feed her, will provide for his daughter, so the father is having hana'a from the fact that his daughter is going to be provided for, still it is mutar. Now the question on this is, Gedola mizu amru. Why is this such a chidush? There's a bigger chidush that was said in the Mishnah. Zan et ishto ve'et banav ve'af al pishu chayavim zonotam. The chatan, if he wants, can actually provide for her even while she's in the reshut, in the house of the father, before she gets married to him. Because it says that the madir can feed the wife and the children of the mudar even though the father is obligated in giving them mizonot. So that's a bigger chidush. This chatan, if he was the madir, he can actually provide for the daughter even before she got married to him. So surely when she married to him, he would be allowed to feed her. So what would be the chidush of Rav Huna over here? We have a bigger chidush in the Mishnah. And you're telling me a chidush that he's allowed to marry off his daughter. That's not a chidush. We can learn it from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says something even bigger than that, that he can feed the children of the mudar even without marrying them, even when the father is the one who's obligated to give them mezonot. Answers the Gemara, le'olam, really we can explain the words of Rav Huna that it's talking about, like we said before, b'shenichse avi kala asurim ala chatan. When the property of the father of the kala is asur on the chatan is the one who is mudar. So then the question was, but what do you mean? But he's benefiting the chatan by giving away his daughter to him to be his wife. Ubebito bogeret umidata. We're talking in the case now when she's a ktana, where the daughter is a grown woman. Umidata. The father is not the one who's giving her over in marriage. It is with her, only with her consent. She's already a bogeret. Therefore, it's not her father that is giving her over to the chatan. So it's not considered like the father is giving him hana'a. The chatan is mudar hana'a from the father. The father is not giving him a hana'a by allowing her to marry, because she is marrying him from her own consent. It's not the father who's giving her away to him, and therefore it's not considered a violation of the neder. And that's why Rav Huna said that hamudar hana'a mechavero mutar le'asilo bito, that you're allowed to marry the daughter of the person who you are mudar hana'a from, because the father is not really the one who's giving you the hana'a. She's marrying by her own consent, not by the consent of the father, meaning not directly by the father giving her away to him. Tanya Namihachi. And in fact, the words of Rav Huna is something that we learned in a Braita. It states in the Braita, Mutar Hana Mechavero, Asur Le'asilo Bito, the one who is Mudar Hana'a from his friend, he cannot give over his daughter who is a Ktana to him, because that will be directly benefiting him. Aval Masi'o Bito Bogeret Umidato, but he can marry off his daughter who is a Bogeret, who is a grown woman, Umidata, and because it's done by her consent. Amar Rabbi Yaakov says, Hamadir Beno Le'talmud Torah, a father who made a neder of Hana'a, that he cannot have hana'ah from his son, in order that his son should not stop from learning Torah. Meaning the father made a vow, he made a neder, that benefit from his son is forbidden, benefit from the father is forbidden to his son, unless he learns Torah. He said this neder in order to induce him to engage in Torah study. So hamadir beno le'talmud Torah, mutar le'malot lo chavit shel mayim u'le'adlik lo, and in this case, the one who made the neder can still perform certain actions that provide his son with some minor benefits. What actions? He's permitted to fill a barrel of water for his son, or to kindle a candle, to light a candle for his son. That he's allowed to do. Even though he made a neder that his son cannot derive benefit from him, but to give him a barrel, to fill up a barrel of water for him, or to light a candle for him, that he's allowed. Rabbi Yitzchak amar litzlot lo dag katan. Rabbi Yitzchak said that even to roast for him a small fish, that is something that he can also do. These are small melachot. These are melachot ktanot. These are very minor tasks. And that was not included in the neder of not giving him hana'ah, because this doesn't have any bitul Torah included in it. And therefore, such a small milacha he can do for him. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hamudar hana'ah mechavero, one who is forbidden to have hana'ah from his friend, mutar leashkoto kos shel shalom. The madir is allowed to give him to drink kos shel shalom, cup of peace. Now the Gemara asks, my nihu, what does a cup of peace mean? What does that mean? Kos shel shalom. Hacha targimu, so here in Bavel, they explain, the Chachamim interpreted to mean as what? Kos shel bet ha'evel, as referring to the cup of wine that is given to mourners to drink at the meal of comfort in the house of mourning. So the one who is, the madir is allowed to give that kos shel shalom, that cup of wine, to the mudar hana'a. B'ma'arava amre, however, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim explained it to mean kos shel bet hamerchatz. It's referring to the cup of wine that one drinks upon leaving the bathhouse. It was a common custom for people then to drink a cup of wine or a cup of hot water after they left the bathhouse. That's something that the madir can also provide for the mudar hana'a, and it's not considered a violation of the neder. Further, we learned in the Mishnah that the madir cannot feed the animal of the mudar hana'a. Chachamim held whether it's a behemat teme'a or a behemat teora, whether a kosher animal or not, the madir cannot feed the animals of the mudar. Tanya, we learned in a braita, Yehoshua ish Uza Omer, Yehoshua of Uza said, Zan avadav eshivchotav akenanim. The madir can feed the mudar's eved kenani, kenani slaves and maidservants. He can feed them. Velo yazun et behemto ben teme'a ben teora. However, as Chachamim say in the Mishnah, he cannot feed his animals, whether they are kosher animals or non-kosher animals. Maitama, what's the reason for the difference between saying that his avadim he could feed, but his behemot he cannot feed? So maitama, avadav eshivchotav hakenaanim, because regarding his Kenani slaves and maidservants, so lemancharuta avidan, they are designated for labor, meaning they're not meant to be eaten. So therefore, what's the big deal that you feed them? That's not a problem. That's not a direct hana'ah being given to the mudar. They are meant to work. That's all. Behema lefituma avida. The animal, on the other hand, is designated for fattening, meaning you fatten the animal, and then afterwards shchita is done and the animal is eaten. So by feeding the animals, that's a direct physical pleasure that is being given to the owner of the animals. Whereas by the avadim, he's not going to eat his avadim, right? So therefore, there's no direct hana'ah of food that is given to the owner of the avadim if he feeds them. The next Mishnah says as follows, Hamudar ana mechavero. One who is mudar, one who is forbidden to have hana'ah from his friend. And he became sick. The mudar became sick. Venichnas levakero. And the madir comes in to visit him, Bikur cholim. Omed avalo yoshev. The halacha is that the one who visits, which is in this case the madir, he visits omed, he's allowed only to stand next to the sick person who is mudar hana'ah from him. Avalo yoshev. But he cannot sit next to him. Umerapeo, the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Umerapeo refuat nefesh, avalo refuat mamon. Now, the madir can heal him with a cure of the nefesh, but not a cure of money. Meaning the madir is allowed to heal him physically, but not to heal him in a financial way, which means to heal his animals, as we will see explained in the Gemara Bezrat Hashem when we continue.